Recording live from the Hoban Law Group here in Denver, Colorado, I'm your host, Eric Singular. We're sitting alongside president and founder of the Hoban Law Group, Bob Hoban. Today we are discussing the opportunities presented to entrepreneurs by this pandemic, and we are joined by Stuart McKenzie, CEO of Reakiro. Stuart, tell us about the impact on the Ukraine that coronavirus has had.
Well, specifically, our business is based. We've got an office in Ukraine, and we have a production facility in Poland. We sell across our CBD range of products from our Polish facility all across Europe. So, what we're seeing is different countries are at different stages of the virus. Italy was one of the first countries to be affected in a serious way. But they'll be really the first ones out. But we can see the same effect coming into Germany now, into the UK market. So we see it the same thing's going to happen as it has in Italy, in Ukraine, and other countries in Europe, but within a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks behind each other. So many are taking the same precautions, but just at different stages. So they're closing down schools now, basically throughout Europe. The big shopping centres, all the concerts, the supermarkets. I know that people are. You know, one of my friends in Bulgaria was shopping in Lidl, and he said, "Yeah, they're just shopping one by one. You could only get in the supermarket one by one." And I said, well, I'm assuming then there was 50 people in the supermarket. As one comes out, one comes in. He said, no. He said, they're only letting one person in the supermarket at a time.
Wow.
And so, you know, these things. And then people are panicking, they're panic buying and things, which is not helping. But, you know, and things, you know, retailers, big retailers that we're talking to, although they're doing very good business at the moment, you can imagine, they're starting to see cracks in the supply chain. And they obviously know this is going to get worse over the next weeks and months. So they're definitely worried about that. That's a sort of overview of where we are at the moment. We've of course, we deal with a lot of our CBD products. We deal with a lot of small, medium-sized retailers because in Europe, the big retailers have not really taken this on because Europe doesn't have a pan, you know, European law about CBD. Most countries are told to interpret it in their own way, which makes it still a very gray way of interpreting the law. And I know Bob and the Hoban Group are doing a great job to try and help with this. But each individual retailer and company are interpreting the law in a different way. And the big retail don't see gray. They either only see black or white. And so we need to, you know, get the footfall of our CBD. So that's why we're dealing with a lot of small retailers. A few big retailers have come on board, of course. But in general, we're dealing with a lot of the small retailers, and they have been told to close. So, you know, it's not as though the sales drop 50%. They're told they must close. And that's impacted our CBD sales a lot. And then we have to think very, very quickly on our toes about how we're going to overcome and come out of this stronger. So that's then when we started to develop our hemp hand sanitizer or cleanser. We saw there was all the supermarkets and retail were out of stock of sanitizer, and we saw an opportunity in our facility to be able to produce a hemp sanitizer, and that allowed us then to get into the big retail, where CBD itself was maybe questionable, but now we'll be able to introduce hemp in a whole other way and get some big volumes. And these guys are asking for millions of products.
Sure. Well, so Stuart, you raised a lot of really interesting topics, so let's kind of dive into them one at a time. First thing I want to talk about is not necessarily cannabis industry related. It's the perception. Well, let me actually take that a step back. My daughter was living in the European Union. She was living in the Netherlands, and she just returned last night. And so because of that, I've followed very closely how this has spread across Europe, and certainly we've all been paying attention to it. But there's at least a perception that somehow, some way, nobody was ready for this in terms of governments, and nobody was looking for what was going to happen next. And that, of course, when the United States all of a sudden gets involved and starts to say, oh, we should do this or we should do that, that people are kind of following our lead, which is the furthest thing from what anybody should be doing right now, following the U.S.'s lead. We don't know what we're doing as much as nobody else sort of understands specifically what they're doing, or at least that's how I would characterize it. What was happening from a policy leadership position based on your observations across Europe before the United States sort of stuck its head into this thing?
And to be honest, I don't see it from that side. I think we were getting signs before the U.S. to sort of involve from Italy, saying, guys, to the rest of the Europe and the world, don't make the same mistake as us. You know, we didn't listen. We didn't take it seriously. They didn't act fast enough. And you'll see doctors and politicians making statements to that effect online, etc. So, certainly with the travel ban, that then snowballed, of course, across the world. The airlines just couldn't survive. But I think every country's looking upon this, knowing that there's going to be a peak coming, and looking at their own country's resources that they have to deal with that. So, you know, whether it be the UK under the NHS or Netherlands or whatever, or Ukraine, they're all very different institutions, and they can only handle so many people coming to them. So it's a case of they don't want everybody running at one point, so to spread it out. And I think different governments have got different ways that they're going to try and handle that. And, you know, it's also what they have in stock. You know, again, a big rush, suddenly they're out of stock of all the medicines they need. It's a very, very difficult situation. And that's why we see, the UK's a little bit behind other countries right now in Europe, and they're getting some bad press about that, where, you know, they've closed schools late and they're still allowing public transport and they're still, allowing gatherings in pubs, where other people have closed restaurants, they've closed schools, they've stopped the undergrounds or the metro stations. They've, really made it so quarantine means quarantine and to as much as possible, and it's only supermarkets and pharmacies that are going to be open.
So shifting towards that notion, another thing you brought up a moment ago was the difficulty across Europe in trying to get products into supermarkets, pharmacies, and the like, mainstream retail distribution. And that's been a challenge. It's been a challenge in part because, as you mentioned, there's sort of no overarching uniform way that the European Union handles these products, from non-psychoactive cannabinoids, from hemp. There is no clarity from the FDA equivalent across Europe, the European Commission. There's this issue of the novel foods designation, meaning that the European Commission is treating CBD products or non-psychoactive hemp cannabinoids as if they are for the first time ever being introduced into our food supply chain. So that's created confusion. Tell us a little bit about the difficulty in trying to find distribution prior to this, prior to the coronavirus pandemic, for products that are produced.
I think you summarized it well there. I think the Novel Foods Act was always being threatened. It was always out there. And now I think that the statement has been a bit more clearer by the UK market and even I think in the Europe market, that they will be treating it like a novel food. This meant that the smaller entrepreneurs, the smaller retailers were the ones taking the product. And if we wanted to really get CBD in the mass market, we needed the big retailers. We need the big retailers to come on board. They're the ones with 80% consumer offtake. And so it's been a challenge to then, you know, get into these big places, because they don't even understand the category. It's new. It will go to the lawyers. The lawyers will see grey. They'll not have it clear. So they say no. Some retailers like Holland and Barrett in the UK have applied and worked with their lawyers to what they call it, have a defensible position with CBD. So and they've carried the product, and within I think 12 months it became, I think, the most profitable category that they were selling. So we know that the consumers love it, and there's a demand for it. We know that the European Union and the World Health Organization say it's a safe product. However, the big retailers, and that doesn't help when you don't have Facebook and Amazon, etc., and these big tools are all against CBD going to the mass market. So what we've done as a company is try to say, okay, well, let's have a hemp range of products. So it's a non-CBD. So we start with that. We start building a brand. We start introducing hemp in cosmetics, with the, you know, have a hemp oil range, have a protein, and slowly then start educating and being able to get our products into the market. The whole novel food thing, I think there's now over 50 companies applied so far. But it's still very unclear how long that's going to take, what the cost is, and even if you would get it. There's also some rumors about the pharmaceutical companies wanting to take a serious stake in it and are ready to come on board after these smaller companies will go out of business and not survive the next 12 months, right? It's also difficult to get licenses in Europe to have CBD extraction, because countries will say, well, it's not novel food. You need a novel food before we can sign off and give you a GMP license to extract, you know, CBD. So many people are just having licenses for GMP under foods, but actually not specifically mentioning hemp. So that's what people have done. But that's how we're getting into retailers through our hemp seed range and the hemp sanitizer. This is how we're going to survive in this crisis, is introducing the hemp sanitizer. And then when we put that online, we're going to be selling that to consumers in say, packs of 10. But what we're going to do is give a free bottle of CBD with that. So I think that will also give us a new audience that needs the sanitizer, and here's the CBD that's also going to help you cope with this current situation we find ourselves in.
Let's focus in on that, because you caught my eye when we were talking the other day about this product, and certainly there's a need for it in the world. So in times of crisis, there's always opportunity, and opportunity doesn't necessarily mean that it's someone taking advantage of something. It's providing a product that the marketplace needs that helps people, and that's what you've always been about at Riachiro. Talk about the hand sanitizer product in more specific detail. Tell us what it is, what properties that cannabis or CBD in this case can help, or hemp can help make the product better. Tell us a little bit about what brought this product to the forefront.
As you say, everybody thinks wash your hands, clean your hands. At the moment, there's no stock available. I mean, my sister in the UK was telling me that they're trying to buy soap, they're trying to buy something, there's none available. So that was the first thing that said, hold on a second, well, you know, there's a need here. And how can we, as Riachiro, help get this into the market? And we wanted to stay true to the hemp business that we're in. And hemp oil-based product. This is not a CBD product, right? Because, again, I want it into mass retail. and not have any problems with, and we can advertise it on Facebook and Amazon and everything else. So the hemp oil, of course, with everybody washing their hands all the time, this oil will help moisturize your hands as well. Okay, so, and yeah, we work with different formulators that we have. We're actually working on a non-alcoholic based product as well. But yeah, I mean, this it's a good product. And but we also have to go through the European certification process, and that's what we're fast-tracking just now. Our staff are working through the night, and really, we put this product together within 3-4 days. Really, it was that quick. And we've got the website and all the attributes to the product and the certification. And the challenge here, Bob, is getting hold of the bottles, is getting hold of the raw materials, because although they've shut down the borders in Europe for people to travel, there are commercial ways that we can get product into the country, but China, of course, is lagging behind because of all the factories in China not working. They don't have big supplies, so it's taking several weeks to get products from there. Everybody in Europe's already out of stock. So these are more the challenges than it is about having the sales. I know there's a company in Florida. One of my friends in London just gave an order, I think, for 30,000 bottles. But it's a six-week waiting time. You know, they've got 6 million on order. And this is not a hemp-based product. It's just a sanitizer, but it shows you the demand. And so we can actually get a hemp product out there, which I think is good for our hemp industry. And it'll be a very good product for it. And then, as I say, online, we'll be able to support that with our CBD and giving people a gift to say, here's the CBD product as well you should be taking. So yeah, that's our strategy to sort of get through this for certainly the next 12 months or so. I think there'll be a big demand. If you can imagine everybody in the world needing sanitizer or wanting it. And I don't think it's just going to be, in 12 weeks, you know, the height of this is gone. Well, the 12 weeks doesn't mean that's going to end. That's just going to mean the height of it's gone. It can still carry on for months and months and months. And I think people are going to start to change seriously. And this is what I've also heard from some big retailers in Europe, is that they see big changes in consumer habits after this crisis is over. To, as we know, it was a trend anyway, but now it's going to be a much more fast-tracked to a much more natural, non-chemical-based solutions of medicines, of cleaning equipment, etc., cosmetics, and again, I think that's very good for the hemp industry.
Well, Stuart, you have absolutely tapped into that vision of entrepreneurship and innovation in a time when it is very, very needed. Bob, I would I'd like to hear you speak just a little bit to kind of the novel foods and that regulatory uncertainty and patchwork that exists in the EU. Where do you see the harmonization there, and is it coming sooner rather than later?
Well, we'll see how this pandemic, the coronavirus, impacts the progress there. But ultimately, the idea of enriched cannabinoid products, meaning that high levels of cannabinoids, not just trace amounts of cannabinoids. Trace amounts of cannabinoids have always been in hemp seed oil, cold pressed hemp seed oil, et cetera, right? So we know that that exists. And because that's true, one would suggest that taking something that was already in a food product and just putting more of it in there, concentrating it, if you will, it's no different than there was before, just technology allows us to do that. Well, the European Commission doesn't see it that way. The European Commission looks at it as if this is a brand new product. It's never been in the marketplace before. Therefore, they've concluded that it is, in fact, a quote-unquote novel food. What does that mean? That means that if it's a novel food, it doesn't mean you can't put it into the marketplace. It just means that they have to create new rules and regulations for its safety. They need to study its toxicity, whether it's an adulterant, things that we as industry people already understand the basic facts about, but these government organizations do not. So that's really the process and the progress. And this will, unfortunately, likely slow down the establishment of those rules. However, the silver lining, especially as it applies to Europe as a whole, not Europe as a governmental entity, looking at the UK. Stuart, to your point, the UK perhaps expedited because of its Brexit, because of other reasons, the UK has stepped out there and said, we're going to be the first country in the world to really get our arms around how we're going to regulate CBD products, non-psychoactive hemp-derived cannabinoid extracts, into the marketplace. And we're going to do it first, and we're going to do it the best. The UK right now is one of the leaders, if not the leading producer, distributor of cannabinoid products in Europe, non-psychoactive from hemp. And its regulatory agency, I believe, Stuart, that's the FSA, the Food Safety Authority, something along those lines. The FSA is going to be the first out of the box to do this. How does that impact your business, Stuart? Producing high-quality CBD products, does that mean that you have to go to Europe, or does it mean you the UK, or does it mean you distribute in the UK? What are you seeing out there on the novel foods issue?
Yeah, Bob, it's where we're going to produce the products, right? So we're producing in Poland, and that's under the EU. Now, if we, and that's going to be tied into the novel foods of Europe. So either we'd have to go to and set up an operation in the UK market only for the UK. So, you know, it doesn't matter how, that was the only way it would work. What I need is the European Union to make it, if they want to make it novel, then fine, but at least make it a fair playing field so everybody can participate. I'm very scared that, you know, because it's a new thing. I mean, we've invested millions into our facility, right? And to make it a full GMP compliant. However, you know, right now they're saying, well, if you really need to, the letter of the law says that this has got to be novel before you can extract, because you're going to extract THC out of this is going to be higher than the legal limit. And that's what we're fighting with at the moment, Bob, right? It's not so much, we sell a lot to the UK is our biggest market, and it's bigger than Germany at the moment. But the Germany is a zero THC market, so if you want to sell CBD there, it's going to be a zero THC product. The UK still allows a 0.3%, and the market's growing. I'm happy that the UK's taken that step. They've got some big companies there, or big pharmaceutical companies also, that will be interested to see what play they have there, and what's under medical and what's going to be under you know, food supplements or whatever. It's just going to be interesting to see, Bob. I mean, yeah, our strategy is going to be, you know, either a CBD company, or I'm going to have to look at being a wellness, going to the wellness space where it's much more herbal solutions, including CBD. We're constantly monitoring it. Obviously, we're going to put our application in for novel foods, but you know, we're going to be careful. You know that we don't do things that are illegal. You know, even extracting CBD at the moment, I don't know how many companies in Europe really have the paper necessary to say, yes, I officially can extract CBD and under novel food. They don't have it. So how can you be 100% legal when the law and Novel Foods Act is, you know, you're not going to get acceptance on the novel food maybe for what, 12 months, Bob? I don't know. Maybe people are talking 18 months, people are talking 2 years, people are talking, and they just don't know. So what's not going to do to the CO? I mean, everything in this in Europe is still in the gray, if not the black, right? Or they're saying at the moment, okay, as long as your application's in within the next 12 months, we're not going to take your products off the shelf. Well, that's fine, okay, but then, so how do I manufacture and get a GMP hemp manufacture? Well, you can't get that until you have the novel food application in and accepted.
Well, unfortunately, I think that the U.S. FDA at some point, probably not in 2020, but in 2021, the FDA will confuse and complicate matters as well, because our FDA doesn't always follow what works in other places, and that's the unfortunate reality of it. But Stuart, you've said it all, and we really appreciate it. Where can we learn more about the hand sanitizer and more about Riakiro?
Well, we go to riakiro.com. That's R-E-A-K-I-R-O.com, riakiro.com. And we also have a company, Hempire, of course, that we build hemp houses, and we sell licenses across the world to educate people how to build hemp houses, how to get into decortication and use the full plant. And we're moving that forward quite nicely. We just sold licenses in Europe. And there's a big demand in Europe, as I'm sure in the States as well. We've started operations in California, and then got some great interest in many other states about, getting, has all this hemp getting grown to sell our unique binder, and to really help people, get into the hemp construction, the hemp building materials industry. So yeah, you can find all that on our riakiro.com or hempire.tech site.
We'll have that link here with the podcast episode as well. Stuart, we thank you for your time today. There's certainly a lot of opportunity. There's also a lot of regulatory uncertainty. I guess every silver lining has a touch of gray. But nonetheless, we thank you for your time today. You stay safe out there, my friend.
You too. You too. Thanks, Bob. That was wonderful talking to you. And God bless and stay safe and stay healthy.
Thanks, Stuart. Appreciate it.
Cheers, guys. Bye-bye.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of the Hoban Minutes special series on coronavirus and cannabis. You can head on over to hoban.law for more information on this podcast or the Hoban Law Group. If you have any ideas for subjects that we should be covering or any questions you want to pose to Bob or myself, shoot us an email at media@hoban.law. And stay tuned for the next episode on this special series, Coronavirus and Cannabis.